Welcome to Down to Herf, the podcast for cigar smokers, whiskey drinkers, and for the people just looking to kick back, light up, and have a good time. I'm your host, Jerry, and I'm joined by, as always, my co-host, Gio and Caleb. Fellas, how are we doing on this fine Tuesday booze day? Caleb, what's up, man?
It's definitely going to be full of booze. We got some guests in the house, so let's get right into it. I'm ready.
Gio, what's up, brother?
What's going on?
A little tricky here, man, obviously, yeah. With the extra camera. I'm trying to figure out what button to press. Usually it's just two that aren't mine.
Yeah.
Now I'm kind of trying to make some adjustments over here. So.
I don't know what to do with my hands.
But That being said, man.
Well, it's been a while since we've had some in-studio guests. Yep, I said guests, plural. We are here today with, we've had him here once, we've had him here twice, third time is the charm, Max Bickler, National Sales Manager from Rocky Patel. I won't make the joke about him not winning the Amazing Race again.
Just because you won't, I will. So the runner-up for the Amazing Race. The first loser.
Glad to be here. I'm happy that I didn't entirely wear out my welcome the first time or even the second time, but third time's a charm. Maybe I could really push it over the edge tonight. Right.
And we are also joined by Mike LaRiviere from our favorite town, Boston.
Beantown. It's like our drunkle from Boston.
Yeah. I love it. You know, reverse area code, everything. We got the 716. They're the 617.
We're like kissing cousins.
Yeah, except they won a bunch of Super Bowls. We lost them.
Yeah, we're just like the city of good losers here. Yeah,
that's all right.
It's next year.
It's a pleasure to be here. I'm really excited. I know we've talked about it for a while now, and it's really exciting to be here for the first time. The studio is freaking amazing. Can I say fuck on this podcast?
You can say whatever you want.
As many times as you like.
I think you should say whatever you want.
Fucking amazing.
I told you the word I think you should use.
Yeah, I know you did.
You should use it. At some point.
I'm going to get it out.
Mike, can we get you to do that again in English this time?
Oh, that's right. I brought my translator with me. My interpreter.
You go ahead.
Interpreter.
What was it? You excited to be here?
I'm excited to be here. It's wicked pisser.
He's excited to be here.
This studio is wicked pisser, yo.
The monster.
He really appreciates the setup.
He hangs out in Charleston.
You guys have no, like, Max has been here three times. You guys have, I mean, you're basically feeding that stray cat. You got a wall full of fucking bourbon over here. You wonder why the guy's been back three times in the last month.
They put the milk out on the dish.
Yeah, it's a couple drops of bourbon.
Yeah. It's like picking up stray cats, man. Yeah, you're right.
I hope my flight gets canceled Thursday.
Jerry's bourbon brings all the boys to the garage.
Yeah, dude.
I like that.
All right. That being said, obviously, usually Gio will go over the cigar we're smoking, but apparently we're smoking something pretty new.
Special.
Pretty unreleased. Pretty
coming soon.
Futuristic,
not quite.
I might say.
Before we get into that, just got to let everyone know, this portion of our show is brought to you by our sponsors, Crown Heads. As always, bringing you some great cigars like the Mil Diaz line, Lavareda, and check it out, coming to PCA this year. They just are dropping the limited edition Blood Medicine 2024, formerly an event exclusive cigar, and now you will be able to get that once a year. So be on the lookout for that, guys. Now, to get into what we are smoking, Max, so I understand this is the gold label, correct? Coming out soon?
It is, and it's pre-release.
We're going to get suspended for even bringing this thing in here.
Yeah, this is not approved by anybody.
Yeah.
We messed around for quite a while on this blend, really a long time, as a matter of fact, trying to figure out exactly what we loved and what Rocky was, you know, looking to do in terms of taste and flavor. And this one has been rolled for quite some time. So this has age on it that it's going to surprise you, because for a cigar that has not yet been released, this blend has been. This cigar you're smoking has been rolled for a while. It's actually not even a size that's going to go to market. There's no torpedo.
Yeah, they X-nayed this size.
Yeah, we're not bringing a torpedo to market, but it's pretty special. It's going to be revealed for the first time. In the next, you know, in March, at the PCA.
Okay.
And
next week.
Next week.
It's like right around the corner. and the cigar is awesome.
Anybody can smoke this. I mean, it's a medium.
Yeah,
it's full of flavor.
I know
it's
the aroma,
complexity to it.
That like just the room note, like Jerry, the room note on that.
So I thought, and I know this isn't a sound really strange. Obviously, we were setting up. Everyone started lighting up. I was like, smells like a nice toast.
Yeah,
like
yes,
buttered toast,
like toasty,
not burnt toast.
No, good not the toast. Burnt. No, it literally does, and that's part of that. That's
well, hit the mock.
I'll tell you what you. So aromatics, right, are huge, and most everybody knows like the most aromatic is Connecticut Shade, but mm-hmm. Connecticut Shade doesn't necessarily have strength, but this has a Connecticut binder.
It pulls it
so
together.
So that binder, and it's got a Sumatra wrapper, and it's got a Connecticut binder. That's what brought that toast that we all smelled. That's Connecticut. When you smell that, like I know, last time we were smoking White Label, Mike might not know this, but last time we were here, we smoked some White Label, something totally different, it. Right? Like,
yeah.
You know, people ignore mild, medium cigar, like you don't talk. But last time we smoked
that's a special White cigar. Label. That wrapper is sick on that.
So
cigar.
what you're getting is that aromatic. So that's the Connecticut.
I feel like every time you're here, we do smoke something pretty good. What did we have the first time you were on? The DBS had just been released, and maybe ALR.
ALR.
That's my. And then that's I think baby. We did.
And then I think we did 60 and White Label.
Yeah, correct.
Wow, you guys.
Oh, have we this. Not done Disciple?
No.
Oh, we should do that.
No.
Yeah.
You know what else? We didn't do Conviction yet either.
I'm not sure what that is. I haven't heard of it yet.
I'm gonna have to do a couple overtime shifts before we do that.
apparently, I didn't bring the right bottle.
That's key. I think, you know what? I could probably work it. I think the Conviction will go really nice with a Pappy 23 or a Pappy 15.
Yeah,
if we can somehow work that out.
Yeah, I wish I had it like that.
It's the Sazerac, actually. The Sazerac 18.
Ooh. Oh, yeah.
We just saw it tonight.
We saw a great. Collection of bourbon.
We're at Hutch's.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, what are they charging for a pour?
They're reasonable.
Above our per diem.
Yeah, above our per diem. No, they're not nuts. There. I mean, they're
about, like pretty 40, good actually.
Aren't they like a $40-$50 pour for that?
Yeah. So? It's actually, you know, like if you were gonna say I want to have it and try it, whatever. Mike and I actually used to get Elmer T. Lee there.
That was a
like
honey
for
hole.
11 bucks.
It was the Hutch's honey hole for Elmer T.
That's the mother's special.
Yeah. Yeah.
Really?
I mean, it's not. It's just like.
But like 15 bucks?
Less.
What?
We'll tell about that. Yeah. We don't want to give all our secrets.
All right.
I mean, that was. It bottoms up on Chippewa, yes. Not mothers.
Yeah.
Not
that,
mothers.
That stuff is so good.
And, sorry. You know,
I won a bottle last year that New Hampshire Liquor Store does a. Lottery twice a year, and basically your email address, you just, you know, you pick whatever you want, what you want to get, and they pull a lottery, and then you get an email saying, hey, you won the right to buy the bottle. And last year I won the Elma T, $37.99.
oh, MSRP.
So what deal, he said was like, last year crazy. There was a lottery for a bottle of Elmer T. Lee, and he won for $37.99.
thanks, Max.
Wait, I don't want to get too crazy about bourbon, but can I ask you a real quick one on bourbon? I just got a bottle and
oh yes.
The Hancock Buffalo Trace makes it. Are you familiar with Caleb? Caleb's
I yeah. I have seen the bottle.
I haven't seen it recently.
I got it.
Buffalo Trace has been doing a lot of weird stuff. Did you see that Chris Stapleton thing that they did called Traveler?
I did. Interesting for Buffalo Trace. I feel like that's not usually their MO, but. I did see it. Cool. I'd like to try. I mean, it's Buffalo Trace. So
$40.
Yeah, I feel like you gotta try it.
I'd rather move on from the bottle because my buddy over here sent me a picture of it, and I said, "I'm coming. Please,
Hancock.
Save me one pour of the Hancock. I haven't had it." And I went to his house Monday, like 11 o'clock in the morning. And I looked over at an empty bottle of it.
Damn.
And I was like, "You fucking kidding me, man? You didn't even save me a sip." And there was that little at the corner of the bottle.
Yeah, we call that the dick, Mike.
Yeah.
The dick.
Yeah. And like a true bourbon nut, I literally lifted the bottle up and I got that last 16th of an ounce on my tongue.
Like, so the,
I
just get like the cartoon poison, yeah. Yeah. Where yes. Like the drip, like the one drop.
Yep.
Yep.
Yeah.
Oh, man.
And it's their high rye mash bill.
So
it reminded me of Elmer T, actually.
Well, it's the same mash bill.
Yeah.
That, you know, they only have...
I thought Elmer T was a undisclosed mash bill.
No, maybe officially, but sure. If you go online, that you can absolutely see the mash, what they assume and attribute to the mash bills.
Sure.
But I think you're probably right. So the guy at my local did tell me, I called him after to say, hey, anytime you can get the Hancock, I'd love to have it. He goes, great. He goes, I got less of that than I got of
George T. Stagg.
George T. Stagg of all the antique collections and all the hard to get stuff. He goes, I got less than Elmer's been really scarce lately. He said, I got less of that than Mike was a D.
Elmer T. Lee is a bottle that really only makes an appearance around like November.
Yeah, it's like
comes down around Thanksgiving, right in that like bourbon hunting season, which is like November, December. Right before Father's Day is another really good one.
And before the antique collection comes is like when that and that's
that came late this year as well.
It was like
January, mid-January.
Yeah. So that Hancock was like it was banging. I've never even seen it. It's the most amateur looking bottle too.
Oh yeah.
It's the label.
It looks like Caldwell's vodka bottle.
You would not think anything of it. You
plain label.
Hope you got a good price on it.
Yeah, $50
$37.99.
You're right in the sweet spot.
$38.99.
It's going for over like $200 online. So yeah, you got it.
You guys definitely. This is a bourbon whiskey podcast too, right? So I just want to just slide one at you, just in case Max hasn't brought this up yet. But something to try, something we should try to do on the show is Joseph Magnus cigar blend.
My buddy has a bottle of it.
I love it,
and he wants to come over. This is my buddy who literally works for the city. I shouldn't say what he does, but he's a city worker. He has a bottle of that. He wants to come over and drink that. So
it's so good, guys.
He said, if you give me a cigar, we'll drink that.
I love it.
And he got it at MSRP.
Yep.
I think it was like $119 or
it's
something
expensive.
Like that.
More like 180, I think.
Yeah.
Whatever it was. He said he got it. He said, I couldn't believe it. I shit my pants and then I fucking grabbed the bottle.
They come out with 502 bottles a year.
Really?
That's it. Yep. Stuff's sick. If you ever see it, if you're out there listening, watching, buy it. You won't be disappointed.
I know you swear by it.
That's so good.
Getting back to a little bit of cigar talk, gentlemen. Max, I don't know how much you're able to dabble in the actual blend. I know you said Sumatra wrapper. I know you said Connecticut Shade.
Yeah.
Binder. What are we looking at for fillers on this?
Fillers are Nicaraguan, Esteli, Jalapa. So a blend of Nicaraguan fillers.
Not Lajero. God.
It's not just like a Lajero bomb, you know?
Some richness to it, though.
That's kind of what I like about it, is it's not just like an in-your-face
bomb,
you know? And the wrapper brings classic Sumatra. That binder is definitely
makes it undescript.
It brings that toasty. That's what everybody lit this cigar. And like the whole room was like, what is that? I mean, this room smokes a lot of cigars.
I thought you pulled out a toaster. I wasn't. Right? I looked up. I was
that was one of the most unique smells like upon first light that we've had in this.
I honestly thought you were going to tell me it had like pipe tobacco in it.
I'm not trying to make a cigar joke. Like I'm not trying to blow smoke. I really honestly fucking thought. I literally thought that somebody had like a piece of toast.
Yeah.
And it wouldn't surprise me because fucking Gio was he eats like three meals a show.
He's hungry.
He's a hungry boy.
He's bulking grown. Up.
He's bulking hungry. Up for Vegas.
Got to get the roids in him. You know? Send him my way.
It's so unique. And that's that binder that. And that's what brings that's the aroma that you're getting. And then, you know, then you add in fillers, well-aged fillers, obviously, from Nicaragua. And fillers from Nicaragua do need age.
Look at the wrapper, though.
It's pretty. Beautiful. It's really pretty.
I wrote down that the wrapper on here is so smooth.
It's a very
delicate find a vein. Feel. You got to try to pretty. Look for one.
Yeah, how is it that smooth, man?
It's really, well, because it's choice. It's Rocky's choice a maniac when it comes to quality, when it comes to appearance. If you saw the amount of stuff that he'll reject and not use as
crazy
as a first or as a cigar that goes into a box, like you'd be
we have
shocked.
People at the end of the process that literally look at every single cigar in a box and make it's sure all, they it's look all, the same. They have the same color.
And you know something about that that's interesting? It's all females because they have better color tolerance and like they're like most of the guys
They just don't have either they can't see the color as well because of color blindness or whatever it might be, but it's all females.
It's totally true. I didn't know that. And I went to the factory last year.
It's no shit, right?
I was in the room and it's just full of women, and that's all they're doing is sorting leaf.
Sorting.
Yeah. How do you say it? In Buffalo?
Sorting.
Oh, sorting.
No, so yeah,
you're going to hold your pinky up when you say that.
That's right, yeah.
And I was like, I even made a joke. Marissa was there. She runs the factory. And I was like, this is kind of sexist. It's all women here. She's like, that's by design. And she said the same thing you did. Yeah. Like, there's colors they can see. There's just, they have way more shades than we can see. Men's.
Yeah, the guys do not.
I'm
crazy.
Just saying, like, I would not want that job anyways. Like, I'd be looking. It's the same fucking thing.
Yeah. It's a brown.
It's brown.
It's fucking brown.
This one's brown.
I got 100 more of these boxes to do.
That's just a lighter brown. It's the same thing.
I want to give a shout out to the lady that was putting the cigars in the cellophane because that job looked like the hottest job in the entire factory.
Okay, that job. I changed my opinion. That's
she had like 1,000 cellophanes in her hand, and she was just.
This is going to sound like the most crazy amateur question. I've never asked this question to anybody. I'm not afraid to say it. I always thought that they just like. Had a machine that they could like lay it on there, and then it would just like
they wish they had a machine.
I wish handmade Jerry is legit handmade.
No, I understand. Yeah. I'm saying like
even that process. Yeah,
it's just like how the fuck do these people do that?
They literally
Have you ever tried to do that?
It's hard as shit.
And I'm telling you, I was mesmerized. Like I know if you saw a picture, my mouth was wide open, my jaws down. I'm watching her. She literally had like a sleeve
had
of cellophane.
Had a tank top on. And,
that too. And she's just like.
Checking out the pokies.
Like, that's like an amazing like job. Like how the hell do you do that for 10 hours a day?
Yeah. It's wild. But yeah, no, it is. It's legit.
Do you think they have like ergonomic training and shit?
No.
I don't know.
You say no?
The most comfy chair for that job.
I don't even know how you could chill out.
Fuck, man. That's crazy. Yeah. Getting off a little cigar talk. Caleb. I want to get into what we're drinking tonight, my friend, if you want to share with us.
All right, here we go. We have Hill Rock Estate Distillery, handcrafted Solera-aged bourbon whiskey. So this is from Hudson Valley, New York, so 2 hours north of New York City. We have a 92.6 proofer. This is actually from barrel number 333. So I'm not too sure if this is single barrel or not. It doesn't really say, but so...
If they do barrel number, it usually is.
That's what I'm thinking here. I can't find it anywhere, but we got this nice reddish amber color on it. MSRP is about $90 to $100 on here. Age is undisclosed. The release is ongoing. So the distillery, pretty weird here. It's a blend of sourced bourbon from an undisclosed location and source, but also from Hill Rock Estate distilled bourbon. So Hill Rock, very unique as they were the first to begin... using Solera in 2012 out of New York State. So one of the first companies to start using Solera.
What is Solera? Because I had no idea when I grabbed this bottle off the shelf.
So it's a stack of barrels where a small portion of whiskey is removed periodically and then new whiskey is added. So no barrel is ever fully emptied and the age and the complexities gradually increase over time. So I guess it's a
like
time,
an infinity barrel.
Sort of, yeah. It's never empty. Yeah.
So it has a blend to it then.
There's always a blend.
Yeah.
So it was founded by Jeffrey Baker, who was a master distiller at Maker's Mark back in around 2012. So the average age of anything that Hill Rock produces, especially in the Solera bourbon edition, cause they do have a couple other lines, is over 6 years and the rye context is about 37%. So got a little rye in there.
I taste rye. I thought this was very, very light. I'm actually shocked that you said that there's rye, because I am very sensitive to it.
Yeah, Gio always cries when we do a rye.
It's very I don't like rye.
And he picked this one.
Yeah.
It's a smooth drink. Very smooth. A little bit of fruitiness, caramel, vanilla.
Definite caramel. Easy to drink. Some citrus to it.
It must be nice to be able to taste things. Yeah, I feel like I say this all the time. My palate is just shot. Yeah, it's shot.
I would say this is definitely a cigar bourbon.
Yeah.
No matter what you smoke with it, it's not going to overpower.
Jerry, do you retrohale?
I do.
Because that usually brings out some nice flavors.
Because I feel like in a cigar, we always talk about we talk about like tasting a cigar and whatnot, and you know, without trying to be like a fancy prick, retrohale really when you use the sinuses. So if you have a cold, like Gio last time we were filming, or shooting, when you have a cold, you can't taste your food, right? And that's because you can't use your sinuses, so you can't use all of the airways. So smoking a cigar without ever retrohaling is a really limited experience.
It's like 60% of the flavor.
You will never get those back notes and those little silly little tastes and flavors that like people mm-hmm. talk about, and they're like, fucking leather, blah blah blah, you know, saffron. Like that is from retrohale, and retrohale, that's where you're able to, like, having a cold. If you have a cold, you know, you can't taste your food. Same way with a cigar. Like and I'm saying you have to retrohale every, but retrohale is really where you're able to get a lot of that flavor and that taste. And not everybody does it and can do it, and it's not right or wrong. I'm just saying for taste and flavors, for finding a lot of that stuff that people are searching for, it's in the retrohale. And then, like, you know, after that, you're like, oh wow, holy cow, that's like got that like toastiness, or that like kind of a marzipan, or like a nuttiness, or creme brulee, or some like crazy shit that people are like, no way, like
toast.
Yeah. But it is
buttered toast.
So
buttered toast.
And like, again,
or as Mike would say, buttered toast.
Buttered. Like I said, there's no right or wrong, but it does increase your taste in a cigar, or what you can taste by the retrohale.
Yeah, I'm not able to do that.
I wish I could retrohale. I've had some trouble trying in the past. I can't
retrohale every like fifth time I try to do it.
Yeah. That's you don't have to do it on every puff. Like that's the thing. Like you try in very small, like don't try to blow a huge, you know.
Yeah, take a small
like
puff
just a then... very, very like a very abbreviated one, and just kind of, you know, get it through there, and you will just be shocked at the amount of taste and flavor when you involve your entire palate, because that is part of your palate, yes. Right? And that really introduces a lot of new flavors.
Dude,
so
Max made that look so easy. I just like was watching him doing it, so you know, I could pick up any tips. He did that. It made no sense to me. I have no idea how he did it.
Shutting off your esophagus and just making sure it goes up to your nostrils.
That's a
Caleb
good point.
Struggles with that.
Caleb does. That guy, he has a very deep throat and esophagus.
Yeah.
Ah, come on. Now.
His dentist said he was bruised. I don't know. What does that mean?
I think he on an afterherf said he had no gag reflex.
Yeah.
Oh my god. Poor Caleb.
That's all right. Maybe I'll be at PCA this year. I'll probably smoke so many cigars, record number of cigars. Maybe by then, and with all you guys that I'm gonna meet.
We're gonna
and
get
see,
you retro.
Clarify exactly. Personal
Caleb,
record.
Is this first PCA for you?
First PCA.
Wow.
Popping the cherry.
It's a Super Bowl, bro.
Sorry, I'm going to apologize in advance that the Rocky booth is kind of mellow and not much going on. But
yeah, no beer.
It'll be all right.
Not this year?
And if you fucking go over, everybody's always busy.
It's the potty booth.
Everybody's always busy. Okay, except that guy whose job is to only pour Boston Lager all day.
Yeah, that guy.
What's
He's
that
a
guy's
guy,
name?
Though. He's
What's
a
his
guy.
Name?
The bartender. What the heck's his name?
Well, we had for years and years and years is Larry.
Right. It is Larry. That's
For
the guy.
Years and
Larry.
Years and years it's been Larry.
Do not tell me right now.
Yeah, we have somebody new now. Is Larry gone?
Do not fucking tell me right now
I hope
that
Larry
is gone.
Larry's the man.
No, I hope it's Larry. I expect it to be Larry, but I'm saying for years and years and years it's been Larry. But we will see. I don't want to, you know, I mean.
You know what?
We request him.
Guys, it's the convention center, so it could be different. Cause
that's what I'm trying to tell
you. We
might
not have Larry.
No.
It's a different location. He
it's
worked
a different
the
location
place.
Because we're not in the Sands
Damn,
convention
I
center.
Just thought of that shit.
We're at the convention center, which is the Las Vegas Convention Center. So
yeah, Resort World.
We're
going
to end up with Biff as our friggin' bartender.
Biff.
Oh, Jesus.
Nah,
Biffed
man.
In those heavy hands.
I like fucking. I like Larry.
I want Mark Wahlberg to be our bartender.
Because he fucking. You walk up and he's like, another soda pop for you, sir?
Yep.
Or whatever the fuck he said.
Larry.
I was just like,
Larry.
This guy, it's kind of embarrassing that this guy is just
he knows
like.
Me.
He sees me walk into the booth and then grabs the glass and then hands it to me. And I'm like, Larry, come on, man. I know I have a problem, but you don't have to. You don't have to do it in front of everybody.
I always ask him for water. So I'm like, Larry, two waters.
All right, Larry, you know what I'm here for, Larry.
Yeah, so I'm excited for Caleb. It's so cool, man. I'll say I was actually trying to do the math today. I think my first show was 2006 that I actually attended. So 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, 17, 18, 19, 20, 21, 22,
get a calculator out for him, yeah, please.
It's a little big for me. But I've
20 years.
Yeah.
That's amazing.
We've done a lot of them.
That's amazing, man.
And I will tell you this. I still get excited. I like to do it. It's energizing. It's fun to be there. It's fun to
Everybody's see the product. There. The pulse of the industry is there.
And you know, we get pinned. Like, people say, did you see X, Y, or Z? And so many times my answer is no, because I never left the booth. Like, I don't get a lot of downtime, but I try to
refer
take,
to
like,
my comment about 3 minutes ago where I said, yeah, everybody's always busy at the Rocky
booth.
It's
so true.
All right.
Like, I
can't wait.
Hey, Max, what's up, man? I know you live two blocks away. Dude, I can't really talk, man. I got 25 appointments this hour.
It's serious.
Oh, I don't stop. I don't freaking stop, man.
Mike literally called me the other day. He's like, I hope someone's going to be able to help me. I don't have any appointment slots left.
I actually cut mine down, so our schedule does 1 hour appointments starting at like whatever 9 to 10 a.m. The last appointment's at 5 to 6.
Yeah, I love to talk, but I got 45 fucking appointments this hour. Come back in 20 minutes. Yeah.
And I cut it down. I actually I talked to Max. I'm like, I'm gonna make them 45 minutes. So I cut them. I added 3 appointments to my day just to fit people in. It's crazy.
It's fun. I mean, it's really exciting. It's just fun to be there. And like, even for me, I've done it many times. It's just energizing. So I'm excited for you, Caleb, to like be there.
And yeah, you're gonna love it.
You really you'll feed the energy. You walk on that floor and it's just like, cool, what's out there, what's new, look at the booths. Like, people bring, you know, it's their A game, right? It's
you our know what I love too, Max?
It's our Super Bowl.
Like, the end of the day, like, our booth, actually, I was joking around, like, it's not,
it's fun,
it's fun. And nice. At the end of the day, like, if you're a retailer that's there and you just you're into the whole industry thing and you're meeting all these people at our booth at my Lion Max, like, every year we have like all the guys come, like Nesta Placencia, George Padron,
Carlito Fuente.
They all come to our booth and we
then
party.
They start talking about how they're gonna fight the fucking government.
And they play we play the music, everybody's dancing.
Yeah, my kind of people fight,
it's pretty fun.
Fight the government.
Yeah. No, it really, it's a great atmosphere. The music is great. They got like a live band usually.
Guys from Boston, by the way, just so you guys.
Yeah, Maddie fucking Jolly. Larry's fucking there just serving up an absolute
Boston beer. I mean, everything's Boston.
Out of here. Take a 2 second time out. We're gonna put him on mute.
Yeah.
All right.
Shut Mike's mic off. So you guys, have you done the numbers?
I shut him off.
Have
he's
you done
done.
The number
he's
six?
Done.
Oh,
he's done.
You guys. Right. Have you done the number 6 yet on the show?
No, we
That's
haven't.
That's the Patriots cigar, man.
It's
you got to do that.
Not.
They came out with that for the Patriots 6 Super Bowl win.
No.
So
no one's going to buy this cigar again, Mike.
It's a good stick, though. I've had like that when I first started getting into cigars. I really bought like the number 6 a lot. It's also one of my lucky numbers, so I had to do it.
I want to kind of touch on PCA a little bit. Obviously, the show's coming up. Just through my personal experiences. So this will be my 3rd show. First year I went as a retailer.
Awesome.
Last year I went as an exhibitor.
Yep.
Somehow.
And this year I get to go as media. So this is a whole new ball game for us. Obviously, our job and what we intend to do when we get there is literally just network with everybody and talk and get to meet everybody and just talk about new shit that's coming out. And I mean, it's just, I feel like this is going to be such a different experience. Obviously, we have our entire cast of the show coming this year, which is going to be fantastic.
Interviews, stuff like that.
Interviews, yeah. All that stuff. So that's something, obviously, we have a shit ton of stuff already on our planner. We got a bunch of people that we have little interviews with. I got to reach out to Rocky, man. I don't know if it's the best way to do it is email, but you know, I would love to talk to him for 15 minutes.
Go
obviously,
to us. We're the ones that are going to...
Rocky's probably not going to be here in person. So, I mean, I feel like that would be such a great opportunity to sit down with him for 15 minutes, just talk to him and get to know him. I know he's a big fan of law enforcement, so
yep.
Obviously, hired this fucking guy. Guy can't even fucking talk.
Well, yeah, exactly. So he's a charitable guy, obviously. and if you, I mean...
I need to sell more cigars in Boston. I need someone that speaks the language.
I don't. I haven't met Rocky personally, but I would think that I might be able to arrange it. If we had an afternoon to have a beer and a cigar. But
Do you know what would look great in here, Max?
What's that?
Like a neon Rocky sign somewhere.
We don't even have them.
I think we can remove like the wooden Miller
LED. Oh, the burn one.
Yeah. Yo, remember that? I sent you my address. You were like, yeah, dude, it'll be there in a week. That was 2 months ago.
Listen, it's on the water. It's on the water right now.
Probably. Oh, yeah. For sure. It's lost in transit. It's okay.
It's on the brotch. That's what they say. On the
water. He's a busy guy.
It's on the water. That's my favorite. Water.
Checks in the mail. No, but 100%. Come by the booth. It's going to be a blast. We'll take some time to hang out. The best time of the day. Honestly, to hang. So what happens, I know a lot of the folks listening, watching, they won't know, but like, so the day ends now at 6 o'clock. That's the new thing. Mike and I have never left that floor at 6 o'clock.
Never.
I literally leave when they're coming through and kicking everybody out at like 7:30 to clean. Like
after we paid the fine for staying late.
After you pay the fine, and I respect people who get out of there at 6 o'clock. That's cool. That's neat. But like, dude, have you ever left the show floor?
No,
I didn't know. Ever. I didn't know that. It used to be 10 to 5.
10 to 5.
So is this their way of combating the 0.5 days? Now the last day is a half day?
It is. So now there's 3 full days, 9 to 10 to 6, 10 to 6, 9 to 5. Yeah. So this is because the last Sunday, day, Monday. Quite honestly, like I don't want to bore people because if they don't care, then but like the last day was always a really difficult day. Most retailers would leave. So we were kind of all standing there like the whole day, like, you know, because people are like, okay, we're going to get back to work. And so the last day, that half day was always like clean up and
industry night.
Yeah, really. Exactly. And so this year, with it being all full days, I expected to just be balls to the wall. I mean, we're not going to have them.
Are you guys there Monday?
We leave Monday. What
time?
We 2 p.m. So, I mean, there's obviously a chance that maybe we'll come pop
in the morning,
maybe a quick, because we're obviously media, so we get that extra hour before.
Oh, you get an hour early.
We get an hour early. So if we were to pop in, wake up early, maybe get some breakfast, pop in there for like an hour or two, we could probably get to the airport with like two hours and 45 minutes to spare with a couple hours at the show Monday.
Two hours for Harry Reid's fine.
On a Monday at 2 in the afternoon. We're not talking about crack of dawn.
Yeah. Harry Reid, two hours is fine.
Yeah.
Make a note in your planner that don't go an hour early and expect Rocky to be there.
Right? Oh, yeah. Don't come in the morning. Yeah.
Yo, Rocky's a partier. Fucking.
But yeah, well, I mean, I don't want to speak out of turn, but I'm pretty confident that if you guys are around, we'll make sure you guys get an interview. And Nish would love to probably talk to you guys too.
He's another one. Yeah. I would love to talk to Nish.
He's a lot of fun to talk to.
We'll do it. We'll make time. It'll be a lot of
fun. Definitely, it'll be
fun. It's going to be absolutely balls to the wall. But we just got.
Dude, we're bringing like our portable mics, our gimbal, and just shooting off an iPhone. So they're going to be. That's awesome. Not bringing any of this shit.
Is that the little? Yeah, the little fuzzy
mics. Yeah. Nothing crazy. That's awesome. Just super simple. If there's two people, you guys can share a mic. I don't know that. Yeah. We'll figure it out. I mean, it is what it is.
That's awesome. So.
And they're wireless, so it's
did,
not like
did you have to use like trade references to get your PCA trip?
So we did, but obviously it helps that we're with Cigar Hustler.
Yeah.
You know, all of them guys.
Yeah, yeah. So awesome.
Being on Hustler, Hustler Universe has definitely helped us a lot. And,
that's great.
Big thanks to those guys. Obviously, it'd be rude of me not to shout those guys out, but we love those guys. Mikey, Palmer, Boots, all the guys at Roma.
Yeah. That's awesome.
Thank you guys. Appreciate y'all.
No, that's awesome, and you guys should be, obviously. I mean, you guys are press, and this is, you know, this is the media medium that folks crave now, right? Yeah. It's such a different world, such a different universe. It's not I said it last time, you know, with all due respect to all the OGs of the cigar media business and the traditional magazine and everything, like,
everybody is getting their information through so many different sources now. And there's all great sources out there, and it's all positive for the business because it's all rising waters, right?
Well, yeah, to like elaborate on that, like what I'd like to touch on is like the difference thing is this is the medium that doesn't have that filter because people are choosing to watch it. Like it didn't happen until just recently. Like if you saw someone smoking a cigar on TV, like it was an HBO TV show.
Skinamax.
Right. Like now you got AJ Hawks smoking on Pat McAfee on ESPN every day. I don't know what they had to do in their contract to get that allowed because Disney's like...
Especially ESPN, yeah.
Right, like...
Shopping. I would say that's called numbers.
Right.
Yeah, yeah, dude. Everybody watches this
Money talks.
Guy.
Money talks.
Everyone watches Pat McAfee. I mean, what are we supposed to do? Tell him no? They also let him say fuck on ESPN.
It's insane.
And they literally... They sit there and they bleep it out. No, it's funny to them. They're like, oh, there it is. The first one of the day. The first slip. I wonder if they get fined or I'm sure absolutely something happens. But I'll tell you what, I guarantee you it doesn't come out of Pat McAfee's pocket. They don't give a fuck.
And like even then, like we're in a different time for like in terms of the media for it. It's actually like cigars have that less like taboo-ness to it. Like you got Max Crosby at the end of every interview taking his shirt off, smoking a cigar.
Yeah.
Like a nut job. It's awesome. Like,
no, totally.
Joe Burrow. You got Guy Fieri sitting around on the sidelines of fucking basketball games, chewing on fucking cigars. Like, dude, the industry is growing. I mean, there's people that are advocates for cigars. The right people. People who are obviously, you know, pretty famous, you know, household names. I mean, these are the kind of people that you want advocating for these products. So.
It's true. And as taboo as tobacco is with big media still, and I can tell you this from being on CBS, on reality shows and all that stuff, I can tell you how taboo tobacco and cigars were.
You were on a clip with a cigar in there.
You know how hard that was? I mean, they had to sell that. You know how hard of a sell that was to get that through, like to have a cigar? Like, because immediately CBS is like, no, there's no tobacco.
But that's your job.
Well, that
you were at that point a cigar salesman.
And that's how, like, World Race Productions, who is the company that makes The Amazing Race and then sells it to CBS, that's how they sell it, right? They're like, we know you don't like tobacco, but I mean, it's kind of his shtick. Like, this is this guy's thing. Like, how do you not?
You're not seeing Babe Ruth out there hitting dingers without a cigar in his mouth on a deck circle. So Max has got to be there with the cigar.
That's crazy too. Just think of like that. So, like you said, you've done 20 PCAs dating back to 06, right? Like, or damn near 20. Like the change, seeing that like on regular network television.
Yeah,
you're like, holy shit, like.
It's almost like they can't fight it. Like they win a championship and you go to they pan to the locker room. They're like,
oh, the whole room is a cloud of smoke.
Yeah, it's like
shooting champagne fucking.
Like here we go.
And what fuck? And as an industry guy, right? And industry people and media, what fucking cigar are they smoking? What of fucking course. Cigar is it?
Well,
everybody's zooming in on
we're
the
we're obviously like so interested, right? Like,
right? What is it?
The meat, like,
what is the cigar?
Us as manufacturers, we're always dying to see what it is. And we're like,
you're zooming in, you're taking screenshots of the video.
What was that TV show where they zoomed in and they had our cigars in the lighter? Remember that?
Damn.
I have that video on my
computer. Yeah, but like anytime our stuff's been featured, it's cool. And I'll get like, people will screenshot it and send it. And then I'll send it to Rocky and be like, yo, check this out. It's pretty cool because we don't do like any paid stuff. So when they end up with it, it's organic. It's real. Yeah. Yeah. So it's cool, right?
They had the burn lighter. I remember that.
Yeah, they had the burn lighter.
Was that Succession?
No, it was a drug cartel show, I think.
It really cool.
I'll remember. I'll text you guys. It'll come to me.
It'll come with the...
Once the bourbon wears off, like Sunday or Monday, I'll probably text you guys.
You answer texts now?
Yeah, once in a while.
I was just curious because I think, like a lot of girls in my past, just says red.
Oh, really? Oh, damn.
You got to send nudes. Jerry. You got to send nudes.
I'm going to just start sending you unsolicited nudes.
Yeah. Well, you know, it's 617, not 716.
Yeah, you guys probably get the wrong area code.
That's the problem. Yep.
You know what you got to do? You got to like just like send them a picture wearing a Tom Brady jersey, but like no pants.
Yeah.
like draped over a boner or something,
or like like the porn star wearing Gronk's jersey.
Yeah, there you go. Yeah.
Oh, dude, I got the Gronk jersey. I'll send it to Mike.
How do I change the subject? How do I change the subject of this? So
you don't want to talk about the Patriots?
Well, I will, but not to go back. But you guys, when you were talking about the pros in the locker rooms with the cigars, it's not just them. Like college football, high school.
That's the,
like I even think like you know my daughter's graduations. They everybody wanted cigars. Everybody's like out in the football field, like smoking cigars during senior night
until they made it 21.
Yeah, and the schools get pissed,
get drafted. Go in the military, decide that you're going to make a decision like that, decide that you can have a mortgage, decide you can do all these things in life at 18 years old, every adult decision in the world at 18.
But you can't smoke a cigar.
Indebt yourself to a mortgage. But you can't buy a cigar because you're
Have a beer.
You're not fucking smart enough to buy a cigar or have a beer, but you could do everything else as an adult.
Can I be honest? Who's really fucking regulating that?
Well, here's
who's really stopping it?
Let me tell you. They do stings, Jerry.
They do.
Stings at places, at cigar
Oh, you're talking about like lounges and stuff.
Yeah.
Okay, like I'm talking about if the 18-year-old kid's in his backyard at the barbecue
Really, it's not a there's no law for consumption.
Sure.
Right? You can give your six-year-old a cigar.
It's the buying.
It's the purchasing. So, yeah, and unfortunately, it is policed. It's sick. It's sick.
It's
they do it all the time. They send in like a 20-year-old kid.
I'll tell you right now, in Massachusetts, they're all over, especially the last year. Massachusetts. They're all over it.
Yeah. No, I know. Yeah. It's sick. I mean, I won't get too crazy, but it's maddening.
I mean, we're all from states that have really high like government or state overreach in terms of, you know, liquor and tobacco. Yeah. Like, our liquor authority is brutal to deal with.
Yeah.
And then I'm sure Massachusetts isn't much better.
No, they're not.
Yeah. Like,
we're right with you.
This is going to sound terrible, but if someday, you know, I have like, obviously, like my kids are going to turn 18. If they want to have a fucking cigar in the backyard while we're grilling, I don't give a fuck.
Absolutely.
I don't fucking care. If here you go. I don't need to go in and buy it for them. I don't have to do any of that weird ass shit. Just go fucking go into the humidor, buddy. I don't give a fuck. I've been saving this cigar for you for 10
exactly.
years.
Exactly. And I think I may have told you guys this once before, but like literally I was on a vacation with my dad and Richie. My friend who's the sales director for My Father Cigars. And we were 16 years old, whatever. And we were sitting on the patio. And, you know, Richie was with my family. And we sat out there. My dad had a cigar. And he looked at us. And he's like, you guys want a cigar? And I was like, oh, no, Dad. Yeah, we don't, you know, I could never smoke a cigar. And Richie's like, no. And my dad looked at us. He was like, oh, so you're only going to smoke the cigars out of my humidor when you guys are alone? Because he knew like, there was missing cigars out of his humidor. He knew.
Yeah.
And I was like, and he's like, dipshits, you don't think I know that there's cigars missing out of my humidor?
Yeah, it's just like my parents knowing I destroyed their entire liquor cabinet refilling it with
water. Yeah, I did the same thing.
Oh, they'll never notice. And then you were like, wait a minute.
Yeah.
Wait.
The Sambuca's shaking like it's like vodka.
Yeah, like, that don't look right. So, I mean.
I can't wait. Until like Jerry's kids are old enough, like he better have the most secure lock liquor cabinet because he has some expensive shit.
We talked about this, Gio. Here's the thing: if they ever were to break in, okay, this is hypothetical. Obviously, we're talking the future here. Please don't fucking refill it with water. Please don't
just
ruin
drink it. Just
like
drink
if
it.
You're gonna drink it,
yeah,
just enjoy it. Please enjoy it. Just save me some.
A pour.
Don't ruin it and think I'm gonna fucking absolutely lose my shit. Let me lose my shit, but then enjoy what's left.
Right.
I was never going to open this.
It's like this was bottled in bond.
Yeah.
Bottled in bond? No, bottled in bond. Because it's 40 proof now.
Yeah.
Yeah. Sounds like all the crazy pool parties I used to throw at my grandma's house, and we just raid her liquor cabinet, drink. We didn't care. We were all under 21. Just drank whatever she had. It could be dirty rum, just like nasty cordials. We're going to get wasted, Grandma. Thanks for letting us swim in your pool.
Orange liqueur.
we're drinking it all.
You know what's crazy? Getting back to that the smoking thing, Max, you were mentioning like in the backyard. So my wife's from L.A. in the Valley, Van Nuys, and we go back there, obviously, and her dad smokes. And they have legislation they're doing there in California where they want to make it so you can't even smoke in your backyard because the smoke is going over the fence to the neighbors' yards.
Oh, that's...
It's like, that's crazy. Like, well, can you imagine they come into your yard and say, ah, oh, sorry, you're in your yard. You
there's a lot of out. HOAs now.
Crazy.
There's a lot of neighborhood associations that's just straight up banning. Like,
so I told my wife this. Obviously, in the future, we're going to be looking to significantly upgrade the size of our home, obviously, with the growing family.
Yeah.
We cannot live in a neighborhood with an HOA. We cannot. Yeah. Obviously, if I want to have a little unit built off in the yard, yeah. I mean, this is my next one. This is not to toot the horn or anything, but it's probably going to be double or triple the size of this with a wet bar, a pool table. It's going to be an absolute experience when you come and hang
out.
And then it's going to walk out right into our in-ground pool and hot tub.
While Jerry's, you know, doing extreme home makeover, someone passed me that bottle.
Gio with a second pour. That's kind of rare, guys. Gio's in for a night.
Yeah, dude. Matt,
you guys noticed, you guys got about halfway through the cigar, the change in this halfway through, it just really opens up.
It opens up, and I also feel like it almost seems less mild than at first.
Yeah.
I'm getting more flavors.
I hate using the word smooth, but this thing's a easy smoke, man.
Yep.
It's enjoyable. It's enjoyable.
It's rich. It's not in your face. It'll be interesting to see, too. So
price point's awesome on it, too.
Price point's going to be great.
It's like 11, 12, 13. The Busto Toro 60.
So that's 25 in New York.
Yeah, unfortunately. Sorry, New York.
I had a question. I had a question for you guys about the age. So Max mentioned the... how aged the tobacco is? Do you know the specific age on this? Because it doesn't say on the website, but any indication?
It's going to be like an undisclosed thing, so we're never going to make an age statement. In
not as long as Max has been going to PCA, but pretty long.
There's nothing in that cigar that's under 6 years old. No way.
Yeah. Wow.
Yeah, that's
so a good price point for the age.
It is, and. And, you know, it'll be interesting because, you know, like I said, this one has age on it. When the cigar gets released, they won't be as old as this.
They won't.
So, yeah, no, they're not going to be.
These are the test blends that we were testing.
Yeah, we had this back. This is almost 2 years old, you know, from. So, and age on tobacco is a whole another ball of wax, right? You guys have probably all tasted a cigar from release 6 months later, a year later, you know.
That's more my forte. I also like, so me, I'm a big believer in box purchasing.
Yeah.
I like to smoke it new, let it rest a little bit, and then just smoke it. And, oh man, is it getting better? Is it milding out? Like sometimes they're the best when they're fresh.
Totally. I'll give you my cigar that I love to smoke fresh. I love Padron right out of the box. Right out of the box. I feel like I'll smoke, like, that cigar is ready to grow. They obviously make great stuff. They're great, great family, great contributors to the cigar world. And that cigar, I like right out of the box. I'll get one, open it right out of the box, and I'm like, bang, that thing's ready to go. Tastes great.
Yeah. I used to smoke the 1980s.
Yeah.
Or 1926
80. Oh, yeah, yeah. 20, yeah, the Perfecto. Yeah.
It's an amazing cigar.
Yeah.
Now, I can tell you, I recently had one.
Yeah.
And I didn't care for it as much as like when I first got the box. So obviously the box is just kicking around in a humidor right now. It mellowed way out.
You're right. I said I like them fresh.
Yep.
I think they're awesome fresh.
Yep.
Now there's other stuff that I think like we'll smoke it. Like we're lucky. We'll get some cool stuff. I'll walk into a store and someone will be like, this is the original Edge. Like the original tray of Edge, like Eric.
Oh, Eric from Kilbane. Castro's in New Hampshire gave us a 1995 like Edge Corojo torpedo.
It was like 2003 or whatever it was, but still, it was like a 20.
Is that what it was?
Yeah,
I can't remember the year.
But he gave us like the original Edge. It was like wow, like so we're blessed because people will hand us cigars like we don't even have. I don't have them. You know what I mean?
I just picked up some of the. A Decade Cameroon, I told you.
Yeah.
Which I freaking love that cigar. And we don't make it anymore.
But to Jerry's point about age, like it's so interesting to and you're so right. Like if you can buy a box and put it away because that thing changes so much.
It's getting harder though with that. Like they're obviously like I mean, you know, you guys just even announced it. You got price hikes coming in April.
Yeah.
And like
right.
Gio made the joke earlier. We were reading the article. He goes, not a joke, because it's April 1st.
Yeah, that's funny.
Also,
that's
Dingus Day.
Dingus Day.
It's after the show, though. It's after the show, which is taking care of everybody.
Get a punch key for Mike. Mike, you know what a punch key is?
Is what is that? Losing in the Super Bowl? Or?
Oh.
Hey.
That is a punch key to the groin.
It's like a push to the right.
I really am picturing you with that Brady jersey draped over a boner. That's all I can see right
I'm
now.
I'm a little concerned that that's all you can see that's right all now. I can but see
listen, you guys, you don't know how hot it is to be a Boston sports fan. You know that they started.
Are you fucking kidding
won
me right
they
now?
Won
they started legislation to stop cigar smoking at championship parades.
What?
Now that's when that's drawing the line right there.
That's your people. That's Massachusetts, bro.
Those damn liberals need to suck one.
You know, stop electing it. Elizabeth Warren.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Pocahontas.
Yeah, bro.
You should say
let's not even get into politics. Please. In this. Oh my God.
Can I tell you a funny story? I don't like to even name this guy. This is gonna be like a quick 30 seconds. I don't want to give this guy any time of day. But I'm going to. Real quick, 30 seconds. We had a guy literally say, nobody fucking cares about your fucking political views. Just fucking talk about cigars. I'm unsubscribing. And my response was, all right, man, you'll be missed. Bro. Like, I don't know. What the fuck you want me to say?
Well, bro. Politics are, unfortunately, a part of the conversation with cigars because
and
the politicians
are
trying to take it away from us. They're taxing it way too high. There's a lot of stuff going on in politics that affect our love for
all
what we're
I said
right
was...
Well, that was that border episode.
We were very in favor of a good, secure border. And the guy was just like, he wasn't eating it. He was not having no part of it.
But
hates our guts now, probably listen to every fucking episode.
But this guy probably did have a door on his house.
Yeah, to let him
so he probably
in.
Was secured.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah, to let him
and in. A fence.
He's
and
probably listening to Anderson Cooper's podcast right now.
That probably. He's still in show business, Anderson Cooper? I didn't know what he was doing. I've heard that name in a long time.
Fucking A.
Does he work for the CIA?
Unfortunately, it is. It's part of our world when
it's
it comes
too
to
bad.
Cigars and tobacco. It is part of it. And you know, you get the everybody. It is. And, you know, listen, I try to be sensitive. And that's what we say, you know, when it comes to cigars. Like, the one thing is, it is truly all walks of life. And, you know, you can talk about a million other things. You don't have to talk about it. But, it comes up here and there.
You know, well, how can you avoid the conversation when here I am? I do all New England. I do upstate New York. Why can I sit down with a consumer at a lounge in Londonderry, New Hampshire, and smoke a vintage 99 for $9.50, $10? But then I come to Buffalo and I got to sit down, and this guy's paying $17.50, $18, $19 for the same cigar. Like it doesn't make sense.
You know? And then. The thing is, I mean, this is no shot at the industry or anything, but like, if you're in and you're paying that kind of money, you're better off paying like $3-4 more for like the super premiums. Like, right. You can grab those like Opus X. You can grab those fucking high end Padrones. You can grab those fucking high end Rockies. Like, why are you going to sit down and try like, you know, an experimental boutique blend when you can just fucking, you know, who it really hurts is the smaller guys, I think. Legacy brands. You guys are always going to be there. And that's no knock at the legacy brands. That's kudos to you. You guys run the fucking industry. But when you're talking about these smaller guys, these are the guys who it really affects. Yeah. No, maybe that's just an opinion.
No, I don't disagree at all. And I always say, like, of course, we're a legacy brand. We weren't always. We are. But, like, so much of the lifeblood is new and exciting, you know, new guys or different entrance to the market. Like, this guy's making this and who's making that for him? Oh, it's awesome. Like, try that. You taste that. Like, that's fun. That's exciting. And people love that. And right. To Jerry's point, those are the guys that take the hammer over the head. Like, you know, you're going to get a 1990 Rocky. You're going to be able to get a 60. You're going
right.
to, but like, you know, are you going to take a flyer on a $17 cigar you never heard of before?
No, and that's my point.
It might be the best cigar you ever tried, but you're not taking a flyer on that. Not for $17. Like, if it was $4 in a sampler, you're like, oh, yeah, sure. But like, it's that's reality.
Yeah, you know? I mean, to touch on your point with that, like, there was a cigar that we reviewed on the show that was given to us at PCA. And when I looked at the retail price of this, I was just like, I'm going to be completely honest. If I paid for this cigar, what the price they were asking for, I'd be pretty upset.
And again, that's, if you were able to get this thing at a reasonable cost, like a normal regulated tobacco state, not a fucking state like New York,
you'd feel better about it.
Fuck yeah. And again, you have to, as an unbiased consumer and media person, say, listen, in a state like New York, I would never fucking buy that cigar at that price. I would never buy that. But at a regular reasonable price, fuck it. Why not?
Yeah, you're right. And it, you know what's hard? You know, I'm in the industry, so I don't buy a lot of cigars, right? So anytime I'm given something or I smoke something, I smoke it, but then I have to think about, and I ask, how much does that cost? Because I might love it, but then if I hear it's $28, like all of a sudden, because I didn't buy it, right? I'm spoiled, and I don't say that in a sense of like oh ha, ha. Like it's super spoiled. It'd be like, you know, you're a bourbon guy and you're working the industry, you don't buy, but like I have to ask what was the cause, because then because that could really change it. Because I could be like, damn, I could smoke an edge for $8. Like I could smoke three edges for that one cigar. Yeah. And that really changes the whole dynamic when you start talking about like pricing and that's an average consumer. Yeah. But that's, we don't get a lot of that because I'll tell you a story.
Spoiled.
Without naming the cigar. I'll never name the cigar. Mike and I were sitting at dinner tonight, and a customer of ours, a good friend, mentioned that he had got some very limited cigar in, and he knows that we really like cigars, just not just our brand, which
he texts us and I got him. You guys want?
Yeah, some. He's like, I got X in. They're going like crazy. Should I set a couple aside for you guys? And
I showed Max. I was like, what do you think? I'm like,
Mike told me the price. And he was like $40, and I was like, oh no.
Yeah.
I'm like, you know, I'll get one at some point and I'll smoke it, but like, you know,
and in New York it would be closer to 60.
That's tax free, you know.
And that's tax free.
And listen, I'm not knocking a $40 cigar. I'm not knocking a $100 cigar. I'm not knocking any of that. But it's like, you know, you wanna try, like, you know what you're getting, like it's a difficult, when you start getting into that price point, like we make $100 cigar, but when you get that price point, your shit better be good, man.
That's
different territory.
I'm hoping he's going to be a good friend and actually bring one to my house when I see him next weekend, but
you'll probably go. And listen, if you smoke it and you go, that's awesome, I would buy 10 count or a 20 count box all day long.
Mm-hmm. Off air, you're definitely telling me this.
Yeah, of course.
I was going to say, you can't just leave me that, bro.
See, like, I mean, you hit the nail on the head. Like, here's the thing. Like, we've smoked $6 cigars. We've smoked $100 plus cigars. Mm-hmm. If you're getting a value for that price point, fine. Like a $40, like, Eye of the Shark that, like, here is, what, like you said, about $40?
$35.
Right, okay.
Probably right, yeah. $35, Eye of the Shark.
No one's going to be disappointed because Arturo Fuente puts their quality in it, so on and so forth. That's just the first one that popped into my head.
Mm-hmm. Also, some allure to it. It was the cigar of the year in 2018, so.
Yeah.
Amazing tobacco, awesome cigar.
Yep. You give me a $40 cigar that I don't know anything about. You're saying it's an undisclosed blend. I don't know a damn thing about your factory or who produces it. I'm like, man, like it was okay, like, right. But I in good faith, like I can't tell you go buy a box.
Oh, totally. Yeah. And I can tell you this, like one of the when it comes to like pricing, I think we've touched on this before, but it's an interesting topic, and I would say I don't know how other companies operate, but when we create a cigar, we don't start with the price point in mind. That's the last
thing. It's the last thing we talk about.
We end up at what is our raw cost between the tobaccos, and then we say, okay, we need to sell it for this to be able to be in business and make money and you know, operate. But like, we don't say we need a a new $35 cigar. Like, that's not.
That would be insane to do it that way.
It's yeah, like, but I think people sense. Do.
I 100% believe
that. I think people do. You know, I know we. That's not our practice. We've never been like that, and that's not how Rocky built his brand. But I do think there's, you know, not throwing shade towards anybody, but I do think people like think maybe, oh, we got to make this price point cigar.
Yeah.
With no regard to what, you know, just like, oh, we need this.
Yeah. I mean, I'm sure there's people that like in your quote unquote, like marketing department that are like, hey, just so you know, we probably should have something in the lower price point, just like every major corporation.
Sure. Yeah.
Like you got to have the creators create and then recommend on that.
Right. And that's the thing. Like you'll sit there, you'll have a cigar, Rocky will create a cigar and then, you know, like, and he's like, well, fuck, dude, we used these two Palones from 2015. We use that. Like, I can't.
Yeah, like you talk about our conviction and Year of the Dragon coming out. That's like so super ultra rare tobacco that found in our warehouse.
Year of the Dragon's Year of the Dragon's going to be $35 retail.
Yeah. Before 6,000 boxes only. And we got nothing left after that.
Yeah, we got to talk about that. Year of the Dragon.
This is actually like an interesting thing. So, were you guys one of the people that Gurkha like had that whole cease and desist? Because they did the same thing with Davidoff.
No.
So, Do you know anything?
Okay. All right. Got it. so there's a story behind it.
Yeah, because this
I don't think Davidoff gives a fuck.
Everyone's got a Year of the Dragon now or something that.
I mean, I've never seen more than this year.
No, this year. Davidoff's crazy. Awesome. God bless. But I think they just said let it rip and come at me, bro. But no, we'll talk off the air.
Okay.
It's cool.
All right.
Yeah, cool story.
Yeah. Because that was like the... Obviously, like that whole, you know, the Chinese New Year cigars, there was always like at least three or four that brands that made them. Mm-hmm. And then suddenly that like lawsuit hit. And obviously, I know you can't really touch on that too much, but that just was like out of left field, especially like Gurkha. I just wasn't expecting it. Like,
well, where's the lawsuit went? Where's it gone so far?
Didn't get dropped. Didn't we cover it? It got dropped or something, something by a couple like of something like that. I think we covered it. It got dropped by a couple. Yeah.
Well, I mean, Gurkha has like an image problem, I say, amongst a lot of like cigar smokers. So I think that just didn't help them at all, in my personal opinion.
This is no slap at Gurkha, but every time somebody, you know, has something bad to say, they're like, oh, just go smoke a Gurkha.
Like,
I don't know what it is, but I mean, listen, I'm not here to be an asshole. I'm not here to talk shit, but I mean, it's an ongoing thing in the industry. It's for a reason. I don't know what the reason is, but I'm sure there is one.
I think the Lunar New Year thing is cool as shit. It's awesome.
Yeah.
I mean, like, it's
gonna be it's an amazing cigar. You guys are gonna love it.
And I love to see like the other companies do it. I think it's cool that like you could go out and now fill a shopping cart of all the Year of the Dragons. I think it's awesome. It's neat. It's limited. You know, it's a yearly thing. But we're no stranger to like yearly and seasonal releases. Back in the day, we used to do our seasonal releases.
We did the autumn, the winter.
We used to do a summer blend, you know. So like, I think it's cool. And I think the consumer loves that. I think the consumer's like, you know, you want your steady stuff. You want like, hey, this is unchanged. I want to smoke this one. But like, you guys know, we're all consumers. You know, you walk into a store, you're like, what's new? I want to see what's up. Like, you know, that's fun. That keeps it exciting.
Absolutely. Like what I think is that helps the most is that like something like a retailer can now say, look, this is the Year of the Dragon sample. Yeah. I got the Rocky, this. I don't see them putting a Davidoff.
The Placencia.
But like,
I've got the Rocky, the Placencia, the Gurkha, the
Punch.
Punch has them now too. That's awesome. I love that.
And like, an opportunity for a customer to try a brand they otherwise never would have.
Absolutely.
And like, it's just more and more to help out the consumer and the brick and mortars who need that help the most, because right now, like, online is just killing.
It's not just the cigar industry either. Right. I mean, like, I'm a huge IPA guy. Love to visit different breweries. And one of my favorites, luckily for me, is close to my house, is Treehouse. They came out with the Year of the Dragon, one run. So one shot deal, one run. They did a Year of the Dragon.
Now, let me ask you, for plugging them, are you going to get like free admission?
I'm hoping. Nate, the owner Nate knows me.
A four pack.
I need something to bring to PCA.
What exactly do you get for that plug is what I want to know. No, I will say that place is awesome.
If you're out there listening,
I don't know if you have any like beer guys that
oh my God. Are listeners.
Like Treehouse is the what'd you call them, the Buffalo Trace?
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. They're the Buffalo Trace.
They're amazing.
Yeah. They're that specialized.
Started out in the garage, and then God, I can remember going back 4 or 5 years ago, you would wait in line in the winter.
With a Brady jersey
and a wallet full of money, and you'd wait two and a half hours to go in and buy
a case of
beer.
You can
get two of that. You can get a 4-pack of that. You can get one of those. Like, it's that kind of. I'll bring. If you guys will have me back, I'll bring some Treehouse.
All right.
This could be a one in
Boston. Just make sure you're listening to the podcast. We need Boston viewers to tune in. Yes, Mike's on the show.
Relax.
Show your boy some love.
Mike is absolutely going
to
plug it.
Down to Herf podcast is wicked pisser. That's all I'm saying. Hey.
This could be a one and done for you.
We need that. All right. We need that.
He's going to be the official ambassador for the Patreon.
We could totally be Boston guys. We could fit right in with the Boston crowd.
Now, my cousin from Boston.
That's what I call him.
That's it.
That's my drunkle from Boston.
You came up with that, actually. I copied from a commercial, but it's okay.
I had one more question about the gold.
Yes.
I know we're doing like a test blend Vitola with this torpedo. Mm-hmm. When this comes out.
No.
What? Oh, can you say the Vitolas?
There's four sizes. Half Corona, Robusto, a Toro, and a 60.
Yep.
All right. Just wanted to get that out there for anyone.
Yeah. And I can't remember the half Corona. I think the half Corona is like, I want to say 975 or 1025, but then it's like, it's 11, 12, 13, Robusto Toro 60.
Yep. Okay. Yep. Four sizes, half Corona being small. The half Corona is freaking awesome.
Yes.
See, I'm a Corona guy, so I would be excited to try this.
It's a little shorter and a little fatter than like a typical Corona, but it smokes really, 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 really well. Yeah. And you know, that's the thing. Like, so sometimes
spoken like a true Italian, it's a little shorter and a little fatter.
Yeah.
Oh,
take it easy over there. You saw the sign at the door. It said, "Firearms welcome." Right. No, but the sizes are fun too because, right? Like when you create cigars, you want to make sizes that are popular and sell. But at the same time, so often we smoke something in a, let me say Vitola, not to be a fancy fuck, but like we so often smoke something in a size that is not like the most popular size, but we're like,
remember the winter Corona for the first time? Max and I, like, we were in Pittsburgh and we were like,
and here's the thing. It absolutely did not sell, and we put it to market, did not sell. But we called it like the rep cigar because every rep, all they requested was the Coronas because they were so good. But I think that's a value thing a lot of times. Like a guy looks at a Corona and it's $9, and then he looks at a Toro and it's
yeah, and they want to get more for their money.
It's
but
ten,
you didn't get the little firecracker,
right? That's the thing. It looks awesome, and the value proposition for like how long you could smoke it is there. But I think people sometimes get cheated because they miss out on some of the really great sizes. Yeah.
If I could take over production for like one day tomorrow,
we'd be out of business.
I would make ALR second edition in a Lancero and just go friggin' hogwash with it.
I love Lancero, so you had me.
I'm an ALR. Like ALR 2 is my favorite cigar we make. I just absolutely love it. And imagine that in a Lancero.
And make it round.
Oh,
I'd go round.
Yeah. All right. Well, that was a nice little decision here. So we actually get to get into our little fun segment here. Mike, I think you're going to like this here. So
let's hear it.
Caleb.
All right. Without further ado, it is time for Patrol Gone Wild, brought to you by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust, makers of fine cigars such as Mi Querida, Sin Compromiso, Sober Mesa, and many others. So let's go. All right, up first, we have an interesting story that ties into the Joe Rogan podcast. So we have ex-inmate who complained that he spent too long in jail on the Joe Rogan podcast last month, by the way, in February, arrested after police find body parts in his freezer. So we have ex-convict Sheldon Johnson, 48, was on the Joe Rogan Experience podcast last month in February. Claimed he turned his whole life around after serving almost 2 decades in jail for attempted murder and robbery. Just found out a couple days ago, found a head in his freezer in his New York City apartment. Queens apartment.
Who put that there?
How did the head get there? How did that happen?
I actually
As Eddie Murphy says, wasn't me.
It was his prison rival.
I had no idea.
Is that true?
Yeah, that's really? What I was reading about. Because I saw this like here, and I went down the rabbit hole because you see something on Twitter, you're like, course. I got to go through the comments because somebody always posts the full story.
Yeah, you got it. Exactly.
Yeah. And I guess it was like some dude he went to like prison with and just finally he's like, I got him back. Maybe it was some, you know.
Gotcha.
That's savage.
Yeah. So, prison love gone wrong.
So he got out of jail with the help from his he got out of jail with the help of his attorney. He claimed he turned his whole life around, was wrongly put in jail. The sentencing was too long, got out a little early on good behavior. He made a decision that he was gonna, you know, right all his wrongs, turn his life around.
Get that head.
Was gonna he was gonna help at risk youth, and then all of a sudden, this guy, former rivalry, whatever, ended up coming to his apartment, seen on camera. There's cameras all over this guy's apartment. Never left. And then on all the outgoing video, this guy Sheldon Johnson changed his appearance. He put on disguises. He put on a blonde.
Oh, the blonde wig.
Blonde wig.
Oh, I saw this in the New York Post. Yes. The New York Post. They saw this.
Put on a blonde wig. Wore one of those bowler caps that you wear when you're an Irish drinker. He put on one of those.
Mike's got about 100 of them.
he's a guy from Boston. Of course, he's got to have one of those.
Yeah.
So he murdered. Accused of murdering Colin Small.
Accused.
He's seen on CCTV video.
Alleged.
He's seen on videotape. Carrying out duffel bags, bins of alleged body parts chopped up, head found in the freezer.
Well, Colin wasn't a big guy.
He actually drove the victim's car to dispose of the body parts as well. So, now he's facing charges of murder, manslaughter, and criminal possessions of a weapon. Stood before a judge on March 7th and reprimanded without bail.
Wait, Tom. Where did he get arrested? In New York?
New York City,
No, they just gave him a citation and said, show up at your court.
An appearance ticket, yeah. That's how it works.
That's it. So,
is Rogan going to bring him back?
From Rikers Island Prison.
The podcast is still up. You can still listen to it. It's not been taken out. Obviously, probably no fault of Joe Rogan at all on this, but the guy clearly did not turn his life around. And the comments on all the video, on everything, all the comments are like, we didn't believe this guy for a second. He was a phony. Even everyone from New York City is like, yeah, we all know this guy's a shithead, up to no good. It was no good from the start, no good till the end. The comments were just rooting this guy. That's crazy. Got ratioed. So got ratioed, and now he's probably doing life, safe to say.
I think it's over for a friend. But good luck. Maybe he'll get out again.
Probably will.
We'll say prayers for him.
See him in like 15 years.
Yeah, probably.
We can do part two on how he was reformed for real this time.
Pray on that.
Because we know Joe Rogan ain't going anywhere.
No. I got a funny one out of New Orleans. Stoner rats found eating marijuana in New Orleans police evidence room. They're all high.
I'm gonna rat.
Yeah. I guess this is an actual picture from it. Reefer-loving rodents.
That was me last night, actually.
A rodent.
With a bourbon belly.
Yeah.
Reefer-loving rodents are gobbling up cannabis stash held under lock and key in the New Orleans Police Department's evidence room, officials announced on Monday. The rats are eating marijuana, Superintendent Kirkpatrick told the City Council Criminal Justice Committee. They're all high. Obviously, these rats are dying, but do you really think it was the rats, Caleb? You think there's something fishy about this story?
It's out of New Orleans. I expect nothing less. It's a shithole city.
I want to potty those rats.
So this is a statement from the superintendent of police. Kirkpatrick says the uncleanliness is off the charts. So I would imagine that these evidence rooms are absolutely disgusting, filthy places.
Yeah.
They never fixed that flooding problem from back in the day.
So there was actually a flooding issue that is actually mentioned in the article. But
They hadn't fixed that since Katrina. There's still still water.
I just thought that was a really funny story. Honestly, my wife is the one that told me to talk about it. She's like, look at this. These rats in fucking New Orleans are just, fucking eating all the fucking marijuana. Why only the weed, though?
Have you been inside a police station? I mean, like, there's always mice.
Hey, Mike, who's going to tell these guys where the trade show is next year?
It's New Orleans. Yeah. We know. We know.
Caleb's on record saying it's a shithole. Yeah.
First of all,
we're bringing up bulletproof vests with us.
Oh, we're all wearing vests.
It's the murder. It's the it's like, besides Detroit, like, if you want to commit murder, go to New Orleans. Yeah, you're going to get away with
it.
First of all, I just want to throw this out there, okay? I can't wait to go to New Orleans. I think that's going to be a great
time. It's got the best
I think
food
it's
in
great
the country, guys.
Do you eat all that weird shit down there, like crocodile and frog legs and all that weird
crocodile
ass shit?
Crocodile isn't bad.
But the best is like a crawboy.
Alligator.
We got to get some of the local guys.
You are the pickiest eater I know.
I will never even do it just because it's alligator.
No, alligator's good.
Turtle soup.
It's good.
Turtle soup at the...
They make alligator like chicken fingers.
Yeah. Max... My man right here, he's been there. Commander Palace has that turtle soup. It's to die for.
Commander Palace.
To kill for.
Real.
Either way, someone's going to die.
What was that dish that you got that you were raving about? Trouser trout?
Oh, man.
You can pick that up at...
stale tuna?
You can pick that up at the French Quarter.
Listen, yeah. we need to make our reservations at Pat O'Brien's now. It's like the only place left in New Orleans on Bourbon Street where you can actually sit down and smoke a cigar. At the Pat O'Brien's.
They're making a shitload of exemptions to host us.
For the show?
Oh. All these places...
I didn't know
these,
that.
Yes, they're making all kinds of exemptions. The city council's done this whole thing to host us.
Did I hear... I could be wrong... you could tell me if I'm wrong, but I heard, was Rocky Patel the company that threw that insane party?
I think Max told us about that, yeah.
You were the one that told us the story, yeah.
When they shut us down.
They were just shutting you guys down.
Bought the whole place out to
party. They tried to arrest Rocky for smoking in there. We were standing out front, the police doing their job, right? But they were under the impression that they needed to arrest everybody there smoking cigars. We had called the owner. We ended up renting the entire place out. That was us. It's true. And I can tell you that night there were probably
all the cops were with us, right?
They were with us. Yeah. There were 15 to 20 retailers, friends of ours, that were there that night. And that did, I would say, of like trade show stories, there's a lot, right? I mean, people have done really cool things. That is, to this day, industry-wide, probably one of the best stories was getting shut down at that place and buying it out, and that was awesome. It was, I mean, our Pete put his money where his mouth was.
Now Rocky will build a burn there and just be shut me down.
Exactly.
I love that, though, but fuck it, man. I'm just going to fucking build a burn here, and that's it.
Yeah, here we go.
Whatever exception I got to do to smoke cigars in my own building.
Right. Yeah. Exactly.
That being said, that'll close out my story, the rat-infested New Orleans Police Department. Fuck it.
All right. This brings me my... I found this video today, and I thought this was just a very, very fun clip to show what policing is like in different parts of the country, especially us living in New York. So this is Sheriff Wayne Levy down in, I believe it's St. Lucie, Florida or something like that.
Definitely with the green pants.
Yeah, and outside, and it involved Broward County Police as well in a task force.
Okay, so
in a good little arrest.
East Coast.
Yep.
Isn't that down? That's like down in Palm Beach, right?
Yeah. Well, Broward's Fort Lauderdale.
Fort Lauderdale.
Yeah. Fort Lauderdale, yeah. Same fucking coast, same shit.
Oh, Tom Lucy, I like this guy. Yeah.
So let's play the clip, guys. I think we'll all appreciate this.
Pearson Franklin Sanders and his juvenile companion thought they were going to come through St. Lucie County with the stolen vehicle, with the Broward Task Force on their tail. Ain't happening. Although this is an M5 and it's super fast, we got the scat pack out. Hey, what'd you think? Good? Yeah, no comment. Although this car hit speeds of 160 miles an hour, the scat pack took him down. We want to say shout out to the Broward County Sheriff's Office, Osceola County Sheriff's Office, Indian River County Sheriff's Office for making sure we put this bad guy behind bars where he belongs.
I fucking love that they did it in the seized vehicle. So, what a lot of people, what a lot of departments down south do is they seize vehicles. Obviously, you probably know this, and they use them for patrol.
Yeah.
Which, that's what every fucking department should do.
Every one of my unmarked cars until, the last 5 years was something we possessed from a bus.
Instead of putting these things in our fucking our storage area, our crime areas for fucking 10 years, let's just fucking use these things. What? Please package them up, throw a fucking light bar up on them, and fucking
get an MCT,
rip,
and we're good.
Yeah, dude. Just fucking get me DMV, get me the fucking computer in there. We're Gucci.
Could you imagine any New York Police Department doing this?
Can you imagine just like the dude is in custody right outside. The dude walked right up. He's like, this is the perfect time to shoot a mini video and put it out to our public page. I'm just going to talk shit about this perp that's sitting out of the car. We probably beat the shit out of him, allegedly.
Did he looked like he had a couple of bruises on
him. Did you see the front end of the Beamer, by the way, in the photo?
With the grass.
I
was going to say, was that all grass? Yeah. You know? It looked like he went through a median or two.
Yeah, that was awesome. And that's their fucking sheriff. It's an elected official.
He didn't give a fuck.
Meanwhile, up here in Mass, we can't even chase. Like, they shut you down, like, in the first 2 minutes of a chase.
We got a car, take it off. Cut it down.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just think of like states like Georgia and shit. They will chase you
until they run out of gas.
No, not even that. Until the car explodes.
Yeah.
They don't fucking care. If you run from the police down in like Georgia, they will pit maneuver you 40 times until you crash. They do not care what happens. Oh, they don't care. So
cool. You know, it's too bad. If we knew about this, I didn't know that you did this segment. We should have had the video of the Customs, the Border Patrol guy that I sent you.
God.
He broke through the freaking roadblock that they had the signs up.
Oh,
like,
I wish I could show you guys.
You know what? Next podcast, we'll send it to you guys.
Unbelievable one where
he puts them down at gunpoint. They're crying.
They're in Arizona and they think they're going to block the.
They're blocking the road.
They think they're going to block the
guy was in a pickup truck.
Ford Ranger.
Border Patrol. And he went by, there was like 100 cars waiting because they blocked the road. And he went by everybody, and then he cut into the
end.
And they were sitting like
Indian style for some like environmental. Oh, I hate
that. He smashed through the roadblock they put out there, trailers and everything. Then he turned around.
And then he turns around up on the shoulder, comes back, gets out, gunpoint everybody. It's unfucking believable. We were pissing ourselves.
You guys gonna play that next
time. Oh, for tears. When we go off the air, we're gonna show you guys off the air.
Sounds like a fantastic time.
You're gonna shit yourselves when we're off the air.
The stuff we always wanted to do but couldn't.
Yeah.
That's amazing. That being said, Caleb, you do have a fourth story. We usually don't do a fourth story, but this one's pretty relevant.
Hot off the presses, fresh news, and it relates to the cigar industry as well. So we have a Miami man arrested with counterfeit packaging for more than $1 million worth of Cuban cigars. So this is out of Miami-Dade. We have, this is from yesterday, March 11th. We have Jorge Gomero from Miami.
It's
arrested.
A customer.
Arrested.
He bought a three-box deal at my event last week.
He's ripping you guys off. Related to stolen goods and other counterfeit cigar bands. So since January, this guy in his store, El Baritone, has been in under investigation by Miami police, operating as a fence, so stolen goods. They noticed individuals would go into his store with bags of items and come out with nothing. So they send in undercover agents. They were searching his place, stolen goods. So a search warrant was executed, and it turned up $30,000 worth of merchandise, all stolen fence products. And undercover sales as well. They found 4,500 empty boxes of allegedly counterfeit cigars. Police estimate the value at almost $1.1 million. They had thousands of labels, ribbons, and certificates. Packages for the brands included Romeo and Julieta, H. Upman, Trinidad, Cohiba, CAO, Bolivar, El Rey del Mundo, La Gloria Cubano, Macanudo, Punch, Partagas, and Sancho Panza. All these boxes, all these stickers, nuts. All these labels. What do they have to do? So they no cigars were seized, but they spoke to Altadis to determine if these were legitimate, and Altadis said they were not.
Can I just throw it out there? Altadis makes all American versions of Cuban brands. Mm-hmm. They live off the legacy of Cuban brands. I know that might sound a little fucked up, but that's what they do. Going to that particular company for validation of what they had and what was... this just sounds like every fucking tropical vacation every one of my friends have ever gone on. If you bought fucking cigars on a beach, they're fucking fake. Just so you know, I'm going out there, unless you got it from a tobacconist in one of these little, like Aruba or Dominican, like if you ever went and... If,
a unless Habano you're purchasing, certified
spot. Correct. It's fucking fake.
Ladies and gentlemen, if you bought
a Cuban cigar on your vacation and it was in a cello. It's fucking fake.
Oh, right? Habano's SA is also on the list too for this Miami guy.
Yeah.
So 1.1 million in counterfeit cigar brands and everything like that. His bond has been set at $23,000.
The only thing I will say though, Jared, like, I mean, it's not like Miami-Dade can go to Cuba and ask those manufacturers. Right.
So, that's a good point.
So they got to ask somebody.
It's a good point.
Yeah.
I mean, they could just swim the 90 miles.
Yeah. But, I mean, that is definitely, well, one, it's just scummy, like defrauding people. And, but, yeah, now you're fucking with the federal government on fraud. So
I was young and dumb at one point. I remember buying a glass humidor with like 10 Cohibas that my buddy bought off a dude on the beach. I was like, dude, this is so sick. I got Cohibas.
I need them.
I was like, what? You'll take them? Yeah. I was like, oh my God, you got them off a beach. They're fucking fake. Yeah. This is garbage. You cut them open. It's like cigarettes. It's garbage. Literal garbage.
I'm going to come clean right now. My brother went on vacation last year and he brought back a couple of Cohibas and he was so excited to bring them over my house and smoke them. And I didn't even have the heart to tell him. I'm coming clean now. Hopefully he's not going to ever listen to this and find out, but they were fake, dude. They were in cellos and it was like Cohiba, B-A-H, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Like,
there's so many things that go into those labels, though, to like counteract that it's...
There's security features.
Holograms and everything in them.
Yeah.
Like, I would love to know what he went through, because like, there are some really good, you know, counterfeiters, like, that you might not be able to tell the difference if you're just a, you know, mildly educated consumer. Like, you probably have to work for the company to know what's fucked up. But, yeah, that's... Dude, $1 million worth of fraud, that's...
Shame on him.
Well, that being said, that's going to conclude the Patrol Gone Wild segment that we do.
All right, guys. Tune in next week for another Patrol Gone Wild segment brought to you by Dunbarton Tobacco and Trust. And now time for News with Caleb. All right. Up first, we have Foundation is leaving Agronorsa and announces new blends with My Father Cigars S.A. So their Foundation is going to discontinue how do you say it?
Wednesday.
Wow,
that's hot news. That's fresh news right there, right?
And the original Wise Man Maduro blends. It was the first two regular production lines from Foundation, and they're going to replace them with two new blends. The moves are part of a larger shift, which is going to end relationships with Agronorsa factory in Esteli, known as Tobacco's Valle de Jalapa S.A., and they're going to start with Garcia's family, My Father Cigars S.A. factory. And we are going to go with the Wise Man Corojo and Wise Man Maduro, both made by my father. They're going to use a Corojo seed wrapper from Nicaragua, and the Maduro is a Mexican San Andreas wrapper. Both tobaccos are going to be from Nicaragua, and binders from Esteli and Jalapa, and the filler from Condega, Esteli, and Jalapa. And they're going to come in four sizes. So you're going to have the Wise Man Corojo Maduro Corona, 1050 a stick, box of 20 for $210. The Robusto, 1150 a stick, box of 20 for $230. A Toro, you can go for $12.50 and a box of 20 for $250. And a double Corona for $13.50, so a box of 20, $270.
Goodbye, Terrence Riley. Hello, Jaime Garcia.
So this is actually going to be shown off to retailers at PCA 2024 in March. So brand new. Like, it's going to come out in a couple days, 10 days.
Yeah.
Interesting. I mean... So this is, obviously, we all know Nick Malello is a fucking fantastic blender, so this is just probably a little fun for him going with, you know, a new ingredient list. And I'm sure these are not going to affect, you know, Foundation's quality at all. Obviously, my father has great tobacco, and we'll see here. But I did love the original Wise Man, so that makes me a little sad.
Yeah.
Going to begin shipping in April, but Nick says he's excited to work with the Pepin Garcia family. It's dream come true.
Cool.
All right. Up next, another story out of PCA. We're going to have Hoya Cabanito. Cabanita Lancero returns for a limited release at PCA 2024. So they started the revamping the Cabanita series in 2016, and now they're coming back with the longer, slender Vitola for a limited edition run at PCA 2024. It's going to be from Juan Martinez, the VP of Hoya de Nicaragua. So it's back by popular demand. So better than ever, they say. It's going to be limited to 1,000 boxes of 20 cigars. Pricing for the U.S. is set at $9.95 a stick or $1.99 per box. And it's also begin shipping right after PCA in Las Vegas, March 23rd through the 25th. And
that's
they're
a
also
short run, 1,000 boxes.
Yeah, it's really...
That ain't shit.
And they're also going to be doing three other regular size productions, a 5 1/4 by 46 Corona Gorda, a 5x50 Robusto, and a 6x52 Toro as well.
Perfect.
All right. And last but not least, we have a whiskey story. We have a new Kentucky Derby Festival bottle by Evan Williams. This is going to be a single barrel to, you know, celebrate the 150th Kentucky Derby, which will be the greatest 2 minutes in sports.
Not in Caleb's life. Not in Caleb's bedroom.
Doesn't even get to 2 minutes.
I don't even need 2 minutes. 7 pumps, that's it. 7 pumps is all you need.
He's the secretariat in his bedroom. Triple crown, bitch.
Exactly. These bottles are single barrel from Evan Williams. It's going to be 60.5 alcohol percentage. It's going to be going for $84.99 a bottle. It's only going to be available at select Louisville area retailers. And
God damn it.
How the fuck are we going to get this?
The vintage of the bottle is from 2016. So you can only get it in Louisville, so get those connections.
Damn, bro. I kind of want one of these. I'm sure I could get one.
You know what? I always said that Evan Williams single barrel, one of the best value single barrel bottles you can find. Back in the day, they used to go for like $25.
We did one on the show, right, Evan Williams?
Oh, yeah, long time ago.
Super good.
That was when you could buy it for $25. Now, yeah, $45 and above, and if you're going to want this one, you're paying $85 for it.
Fuck.
Dude, it's super good bottle.
You know, you guys got the Belmont Stakes happening at Saratoga Springs this year.
Really?
Yeah. They're doing... Belmont's having a big... reconstruction.
Really?
So they shifted the Belmont to Saratoga Springs, where we actually sponsor the humidor at the racetrack, and we're doing a private label farm. Very Whoa. Limited 10 box count Belmont steak cigar.
How the fuck can we get one sent here?
I know a guy.
Hey, I like that.
Well, you guys, you heard that news first from Mike himself. So.
That's cigar news right there. I don't think anybody knows that.
This is another
first time we're talking about that. Yeah.
Another cigar news story right there for you guys. Yeah. Fresh off the press.
Super limited. There's like, I want to say, don't quote me, but I think there's only like 350 boxes.
That ain't shit.
All right, yeah. So if you're at Belmont in Saratoga,
yeah,
check it out. Check out that Rocky Patel nice booth blend. Over there.
That's something I always wanted to do, man. I'm not like a huge horse race guy, but the Triple Crown, Preakness, Belmont, Kentucky Derby. I would go to any three of those races. I feel like that would be amazing. Such a great time. You ever been?
Oh, yeah.
Is it a good time?
It's amazing.
You have a
I don't want to bring up the Patriots, but you know, I went with Tom Brady for my wedding.
Few too many mint juleps?
Yeah. Oh, I had a lot. Yeah.
I love that.
It's a great time. You know, you dress up.
Did you wear one of those weird-ass outfits?
I had a nice suit with a really standout pink tie. My wife had one of those big ass hats, you know.
Yeah, oh yeah, yeah. I feel like that's the only time it's appropriate to dress like Abraham Lincoln.
Yeah.
With the top hat and all that weird shit. That's the only time it should be allowed.
You know, Max would have a spiffy outfit for the Derby.
For me, like, you know what? You go to like drag races or NASCAR races, that stuff. The thing that really struck me was the rumble when the hustles are running. It's quick. But the rumble, you can feel it go through your body.
Really?
Like, even when they're like doing the turn away from where you are, it's like, it's like this.
You know what they call that crazy. In Boston? Good vibrations.
Yes, exactly.
Mocky Mock.
I think we should do a Down to Herf
Mocky Mock
trip to the Kentucky Derby one of these years.
All right, I'm down.
Don't tempt me with a good time.
I'm down, bro. I'm down. Don't tempt me with a good time, just like Gio said. That being said, Caleb.
Cigar,
it's that time, buddy.
Cigar review time.
Cigar review time, man. It's the moment of truth.
So this is the Rocky Patel Gold, but this is a Torpedo, right, guys? A test blend?
Test blend.
First right here. So appearance. Now, I'm giving this a 9, but I am factoring in all the artwork off the website. So go to Rocky Patel, their website, check out the gold, see what it looks like. The box is amazing. It's black and gold. It's really royal. It's getting a 9. I know we got it unbanded, but it's getting a 9 just based off the box alone. Burn, giving it a 9. I only lit this once. No touch-ups at all. Construction, I'm giving this a 9 as well. No flakes at all here. This was great. Draw, V-cut, 9. nearly perfect. Got to go with the V-cut for the size of this. And enjoyment, I'm with the boys Max and Mike. Giving a 9.5 overall score from Caleb. 45.5 times it by 2, you get a 91 overall from me.
Nice. Thank you.
Additional notes. Very smooth to the feel. Great smell upon the first light. I got some cold draw notes of some chocolate. And as the cigar went further on, I got light pepper, light leather, and some chocolatey notes as well. So,
look at you, man. Look at you go. The most detailed cigar reviewer. I love it.
I'm trying my best.
That's a good review.
I got to work on my retrohale, but I'll master that through PCA. I'm sure I'll be meeting a lot of you guys, and I'll master the technique.
All right, I'll get into mine. The appearance, I gave it a 8.5. Obviously, this is unbanded. I don't really know what it looks like. I didn't look it up yet. Obviously, I like to be surprised by things. Caleb did the homework and actually looked it up. Obviously, I run this entire show over here. It's hard for me to look things up.
Right.
Not taking too much away from that. But the burn, I gave it a 9. Perfect burn. I mean, dude, what more could you ask for? The thing, I didn't really touch it up much. Really enjoyed it. The construction, I gave it a 9. Solid constructed cigar. Really liked it. Liked the size. The experience with it was great. No complaints. The draw, V-cut as well as Caleb. Yeah. 9. No problems at all. Really did enjoy the cigar. Obviously, having Mike and Max in the studio brought my overall enjoyment to a 9.5. Bring me to a 45 overall 90. Really like the cigar. Caleb touched on the wrapper. Very smooth wrapper. I think Mike and Max also did mention this earlier in the show. It's hard to even find like a vein in this wrapper. It's very well constructed. Smooth. Real smooth cigar. Some notes that I had additionally. The aroma that this thing gives off. It's like buttered toast, man. And it's a weird thing. As a person that struggles to find and be able to compare, like, you're like, oh, I've tasted it or I've smelled that before. That one was very distinctive. I was like, oh, man, that thing smells like breakfast. I struggle to find that. I don't know how you guys are. Like, oh, man, I know that taste. What the fuck is that taste? I can never identify the taste. I can never do it. And I'm like, I've tasted this. I know what this is, but what the fuck is it? I don't know what the fuck that is. That's a big thing that I struggle with. I'm working on that, but really good cigar, man. 90 overall. Gio, how'd you do, bud?
All right. I did also look up the actual packaging for it. It's a pretty wild box. It's this like black and gold, real regal look to it. Just seeing there, and I know just from past things, Rocky doesn't spare on the presentation. That I gave it a 9.5. Burn, I gave this thing an 8.5. I touched it up a couple times. That's probably more me than anything, but I try to give it on a curve here for me just because that seems to happen. I talk a lot. Not an issue, nothing, no boating or anything like that. That's thing here. I mean, if you look, it's not a single issue there. Construction, I'm right there with everybody else. I mean, I think I have like a flake of ash on my jeans, which that's always a good sign. And then add in the very feel. It's a nice, soft cigar. You guys said these have been, you know, about, what, 2 years old now at this point?
Yeah, like, maybe at least.
So it's definitely got, you know, that just well-made there because it's not, you know, and they're obviously stored properly. Good job. He said he doesn't like, you know, stale cigars.
Right.
Hate.
Yeah. Reps leaving stuff in the car. He's like, yell at him. So we'll give Mike that props there. Thank in front you. Of the big man. Draw. I gave it a 9 as well. Did I say my construction grade? I said it was a 9. I couldn't remember if I just said it. Okay.
So, maybe you did.
Draw. I gave it a 9. I went the straight cut on this, which is a little bit of a departure for me. I really don't like straight cuts on cigars. I feel like I always cut too much. My favorite cut lately has been just punching it because it's just been giving me a good experience. But it didn't affect this at all. So with it being a torpedo, it seems like you could V-cut or straight this without any issues. There was no, you know, the cap didn't fall apart or anything like that. I've had it happen, which will piss me off to no end, just having that loose part of the leaf there. And then, oh, I lost it here. Lastly, enjoyment. I gave this a 9. It would have been a 9.5 if it was the Corona Gorda.
Really?
I don't really care for the torpedo sizes. Like, it's just not my personal preference.
If you recall, when they were passing them out, what was the first thing that I said?
Yeah.
I said, give me whatever one's not the torpedo.
You did.
They were all torpedo. Yeah. I'm the same way.
But
I used to love torpedo. Not anymore.
Now, again,
maybe that's why we're not coming up with the torpedo size.
I fuck the cap up. I always fuck the cap up.
There is no torpedo.
Yeah. Now, I will say, you know, if I see a PCA, maybe hook me up with one of these Corona Gordas here. We'll retro edit here. But that brought my overall score to a 45, giving it a 90. I think this is a great cigar. And you said this price point was going to be in that, like,
$12 for a Toro.
9 to 13.
Yeah, that's going to be extremely reasonable, and you're not going to be disappointed. We're not going to have that issue where we talk about where you're like, I spent $20 on this thing, and it's not what I wanted it to be. So, again, it looks like this is going to be another winner for Rocky at PCA when these come out.
Perfect. That being said, closing notes to the episode. I do want to thank Max, obviously. Third time on the show, brother. Appreciate you, man.
Love it, man.
Always fucking coming on, bringing some heat.
The best.
Hooking us up. Yeah. Local Buffalo guy.
Absolutely.
Fucking first loser. First loser, but number one in our hearts.
Hold on, he'd be last loser.
He'd be the last loser. Yeah, that's true.
All right, well, you know what I mean. Like, yeah, I like that better. You were the first place loser.
First place loser.
First place loser.
You should have won.
You know what?
Everybody knows.
We love having you on, buddy. Local Buffalo guy. Just said it, but, you know, thanks for coming on. And Mike, popped your cherry here on the show, man.
Thank you for having me.
Was it nice?
Always
was
a pleasure.
Was it a good experience? Because sometimes your first isn't always the best.
The best part's to come. This is the part where we turn everything off, and then we get to just unwind, smoke more cigars, and then, maybe
and we're brothers, too.
And we'll get to start drinking other shit. Hey, man, that thin blue line.
Yes.
It means something. It
does. Overall score, by the way, from the three of us, 90.33 is a 90 overall. Gotta love those horns.
Gotta love them. It's always a good thing. The horns go off, it's always a good thing.
I don't know if you guys rate the bourbon, but based on the empty bottle, I think that went over well, too.
Yeah, man.
Good pairing.
Great pairing.
He'll rock.
This was pure luck, by the way.
Shot in the dark. But
Never even heard of this. I was like, what the fuck is this? I'm like, I'm looking it up online when I'm at the shelf there. I'm like, all right. Am I getting ripped off?
Did anybody in this room have this bottle yet?
No.
Ever.
Not.
This, I actually liked it.
Not this rendition. I've had others.
I've seen Hill Rock. I've not had this bottle.
No. I'm not going to lie. I was right off the bat, I was a huge fan of that. Like, I was like, ooh, I'm going to get a
super couple. Smooth. Nice notes to it, too. Caramely.
No
fruity.
Bite. No bite whatsoever.
Oh, and one last thing I actually wanted to talk about. So I did like one retrohale throughout all this for the cigar here.
Okay.
And the flavor that actually popped out to me was like cream of wheat.
Yep.
Like that's the only thing that made me think of there.
I was cream like, of wheat.
Yeah.
Okay.
But that was what it just stood out. Like it had that like you said, like oatmeal-esque flavor.
Yeah, that kind of like bready. Yep. 100%.
The grains, baby. Get your grains in.
Yeah.
That being said, Caleb. Closing notes of the episode, brother.
Guys, just make sure you're following on YouTube, as always. Most importantly, Grower Gang, you guys are helping us out. We're getting closer and closer to those next steps. Follow on the Facebook, Instagram as well, and we do have the TikTok. So make sure you're following all of those accounts that we have. We appreciate you. Thanks for the comments. Thanks for the likes. We love it.
And if you're listening to us on audio only, make sure you're checking us out on a Cigar Hustler Podcast Network, the number one podcast, cigar podcast on Podbean. We love you guys. Thank you guys so much. Make sure you guys are checking out the After Herf show as well on the Patreon. Very important. We appreciate all those Patreon members. Haven't really figured out what we're going to do for the monthly Herf this month, but obviously there's going to be a lot to talk about with PCA being done.
I think maybe we do a post-PCA giveaway or something like that.
Yeah, I feel like... If you're one of our Patreon members, you know. We just come out with banger giveaways. I don't think there's any losers. What do you think, G?
Tune in on the After Herf if you want to win something, because you're guaranteed to win something.
Don't say guaranteed, because, we don't always do giveaways.
I'm intriguing more subscribers to the After Herf.
But we do a lot of giveaways on the Patreon. So that being said, we'll see you guys next Wednesday. Thank you guys so much, and we'll see you.
Thanks.
The Down to Herf podcast, its owners and sponsors take no responsibility for the opinions or statements made by the talk show hosts or their guests. Statements or show topics are not necessarily the beliefs of Mike and Mike Productions or the podcast providers, and opinions between talk show hosts may differ. It's not our intention to libel, incite, or hurt anyone's feelings. We invite you to write the show's host, Jerry Lewandowski, with any feedback or suggestions you have for their show. These broadcasts are presented and made public as entertainment in the hopes that they will be entertaining to the audience.